Welcome back to Season 11 of the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, where we connect the science-based evidence behind social and emotional learning and emotional intelligence training for improved well-being, achievement, productivity, and results, using what I saw as the missing link, since we weren't taught this when we were growing up in school, the application of practical neuroscience. I'm Andrea Samadi, an author and an educator with a passion for learning, and launched this podcast 5 years ago with the goal of bringing all the leading experts together in one place to help us to apply this research in our daily lives. On today's episode, number 330, we continue with our 18-week self-leadership series based on Grant Bosnick's Tailored Approaches to Self-Leadership that we first dove into with our interview episode 321 a few weeks ago. Now that we've started doing this series, I hope we can all see how practicing and strengthening the skills that we're learning each week is cumulative. Each week, we're learning something new that builds off the prior week to help take us to greater heights in 2024. We can even map out our journey of our mind as we go along the way. And it's here that I'm hoping we take the information we're learning and connect the dots to form knowledge and then apply this knowledge to our daily life. This is where we go from theory to practice with this podcast, and it's the application of what we're learning that contains the magic. So just to review, reflect back to Chapter 2 on the neuroscience of goals, and this is where we covered Kurt Lewin's force field theory. And think, what are you doing today to gain the momentum needed to reach new and heightened levels of performance this year? How are you improving your mental and physical health to gain that momentum that we talked about in this chapter? Then reflect back to Chapter 3 on the neuroscience of inspiration. How are you using people or places that inspire you to take your results to greater heights? Think about this as it relates to your physical and mental health and see what else you can do. What other action could you take in this area? Then reflect back to Chapter 4 on the neuroscience of mindfulness. Where are you in your mindfulness journey? Mindfulness and breathing were listed often in this chapter. Think about how mindfulness is helping you with your physical health. Then reflect back to Chapter 5 on the neuroscience behind peak performance. How are you practicing getting into the flow? When do you notice it the most? Is it during physical exercise or meditation? And are you practicing this state to gain 5 times more productivity? Then finally, reflect back to Chapter 6 on the science behind our physical health. And this is where we narrowed our focus from a wide and complex field to something we can implement immediately with the hydrated brain. And think, are you keeping your brain hydrated? Do you know how much water you're drinking every day? And Grant reminded us that everyone's unique and needs different amounts of water a day, but he does suggest an adequate intake for men is roughly around 3 liters or 100 fluid ounces a day, and for women it's about 2.2 liters or 74 fluid ounces a day. And this is one area I know I can do better with, especially living in the desert. I know I can improve this one with some more focused effort. We'll cover the remaining 6 chapters, agility, resilience, relationships and authenticity, biases, trust, and presence, after we take a bit of a break for me to navigate a new work schedule in my personal and work life. As soon as I have my footing here, and Dr. Shane Criado from episode 72 reminded me the other day of our brain's neuroplasticity, so I should be able to find the balance in a few weeks, and once I'm back in the groove, I'll be back to finish this series. In the meantime, this will be a perfect time for us to put some serious thought into where we began this year and where we're going. Think about the areas where we know we can improve and get to work on these areas. I'll be using this time to strengthen my mindset and be sure I'm applying each of these episodes that guarantees the strongest version of myself this year. And there's great power in self-awareness that comes along with mapping out a plan that was designed specifically for you. And I do encourage everyone to take Grant Bosnick's leadership self-assessment so you can see the areas for you that score a high, a medium, or of low level of importance for you to focus on this year. So for today's episode number 330, we cover chapter 7, Aha Moments, Creative Insight, and the Brain. And we'll look at what Grant Bosnick covers on this topic, as well as a deeper dive into John Kunios and Mark Beeman's fascinating book, The Eureka Factor, so we can have a clear understanding of how these aha moments occur in the brain and how exactly we can foster our own creative insights for unique and immediate improved performance. So today we dive into chapter 7 of Grant Bosnick's book as we cover the neuroscience behind insight, which came out as of medium importance, or the orange score for me, alongside with mindfulness and flow. And if you've taken the self-assessment, you'll know it's how you answer the questions based on what's of high priority for you that determines the lessons that are important to begin now, or the ones that you might think you've got a handle on, so they show up as lower priority or medium, like this topic did for me. I do block out time every day for mindfulness, and I'm working on getting into flow with my work, but insight is a new skill for me. I've never sat down to see what insight will come into my mind today, as these types of moments happen spontaneously, like Alexa Samuel mentioned on episode 328, when he made the connection with financial literacy and gamification in the shower. What I loved about Grant Bosnick's book, Tailored Approaches to Self-Leadership, is that he opens up Chapter 7 with a story of how insight was used by an organization to help solve the problem with the high number of babies that were dying within a month of their birth, specifically in developing countries. And this organization solved this specific problem using a thought process that took insight, using materials and human resources that could be used to address this issue. And it was by building incubators made out of Toyota cars that were readily available in these developing areas. Instead of using their analytical mind and thinking, how do we get more incubators to these areas, someone on their team used insight and creativity to come up with the best solution. So how do we think up these creative ideas? Grant asks us to ponder where we have our best ideas. He asks, in the shower, like Alexa Samuels, while exercising, at your desk while doing work, just before falling asleep or waking up, while walking or hiking, or while talking with a friend. And Grant thinks that few people will come back with at their desk while working, since this type of creativity involves breaking away from the analytical thinking mind and tapping into our unconscious part of our brain. And it was here I had to look deeper into how this type of thinking happens. And I found this fascinating book, The Eureka Factor, Aha Moments, Creative Insight in the Brain, by John Kunios and Mark Beeman, that Alexa Samuels mentioned during our interview. And I had mentioned I had just started to read it. If you want to dive deeper into the science behind insight and creativity, I highly recommend this book. I wanted to know how to create these aha moments at will, not by chance. And this is what these two cognitive neuroscientists who wrote this book set out to do. Their goal of writing this book was to explain how these eureka experiences happen and how to have more of them to enrich our lives and empower our personal and professional success. In the very beginning pages of The Eureka Factor, we learn that insight is creative. And when the authors went on to define what creativity is, they suggest to not define it Yet, since everyone intuitively recognizes creativity when he or she sees it. And I thought back to when we covered improving creativity on part four of the Silva method. It was called Improving Creativity and Innovation in Our Schools, Sports, and Modern Workplaces. And we tapped into Dr. Andrew Huberman's research on creativity here. Dr. Huberman explains that when we see something that's truly creative, it reveals something to us about the natural world and about how our brains work. It's got to reveal something that surprises us for it to be truly creative. So going back to the Eureka factor, John Cuniel suggests that creative insight is not an exotic type of thought reserved for the few. In fact, he says it's one of the few abilities that defines our species. Most humans have insights. It's a basic human ability. So now I want to know, how can we have more insight to solve problems in our personal or work lives? How can we be more creative on purpose? Grant Bosnick has an exercise in his book to help foster this ability, and it begins with quieting the mind and letting it drift. Next, he suggests having a positive mood, and then be open to pattern completion, allowing new connections to form. Finally, he reminds us to not directly focus on the problem. In the Eureka Factor, Cuniel and Beeman also cover this concept of pattern completion and explain that we be open to unique solutions to our problems, letting the brain do what it was designed to do. They reminded us with a few fascinating discoveries in health, as well as an Oscar-winning character that was created while the film writer was at a baseball game, that sometimes the answer we're looking for is the opposite to what we're commonly thinking to be true. And I remember the advice that the legendary speaker Bob Proctor would give to people every time that they had a problem that they were looking to solve. He would say, "Go somewhere quiet and think," which covers Grant Bosnick's first suggestion. And I remember people coming to me when I worked with Proctor saying, "Okay, I did that. I went somewhere quiet and I'm still stuck." And I always wondered what else I could suggest to someone who really was stuck in this process. And after reading Grant's book, I can now connect the understanding of neuroscience to this equation. Having a positive mood is important while you're quietly thinking. And also understanding that the brain doesn't like incompleteness. When you're quiet, thinking of a solution, your brain will do the work to make the connections where you might have never thought before. Now, while reading the Eureka Factor, I came across an image that helped to explain this idea so we can all improve our ability to generate new and creative insights that will empower our personal and professional lives. And if someone were to ask me, where do I begin to improve my ability to create new insights in my life? I would say, start here. Step one, go somewhere quiet and think. We've mentioned a few times on this podcast that every man or woman has the natural and inherent power to think what he wants to think, but it requires more effort to do so. And I recently heard Professor Hod Lipson, he's from Columbia University, and he was speaking about the future with AI. And while his whole presentation was forward-thinking, eye-opening, and brilliant, what caught my attention the most was when he mentioned that while working with students with AI and robotics, the hardest part for them was to come up with a name for their robot because he said it takes a lot of effort to become creative. So take the time needed for this process. Step two, you might think you're stuck and you might see a brick wall in front of you, metaphorically speaking, but know there's always a solution to every problem. You just haven't figured it out yet. And it's here I've shared that I've moved past where I'm stuck using the Silva method. And I'm reminded daily that many of our current listeners found us from that first episode we did in that four-part series that ended with an episode on how to be more creative and innovative. I just heard from Fatima Kahedi this weekend that she found our podcast through Spotify just by searching for the Silva Method. Then this weekend, I was listening to our recent episode that Dr. Huberman did. It was an Ask Me Anything episode from Melbourne, Australia. And on this episode, he shared the work of Dr. David Spiegel on hypnosis, saying that there's a simple way to tell if someone is hypnotizable or not. It has to do with Dr. Spiegel called an eye roll at the beginning of this test, where he asked Dr. Huberman to look up and then close his eyes. And if the whites of his eyes showed for a certain amount of time as his eyes were closing, which they did, he would score a 4 out of 4 on this test and be highly hypnotizable. And I thought, that's the Silva Method. Jose Silva gets us to relax somewhere quiet by going to the alpha state, by counting backwards, and then by rolling our eyes upwards in our head while we're relaxed. And it's here he asks us to practice seeing things on the screen of our mind. And now that I've heard the neuroscience connected to this practice, I can see that by using the Silva Method, we're relaxing ourselves deeply enough to be able to see things more clearly, or in essence, we're practicing self-hypnosis. Step 3, keeping your mood positive, break away and do something that makes you happy. It could be going for a walk or a hike or playing tennis, like the image in the Eureka Factor. Just break away and divert your attention away from the problem. If you're in a meditative state, just be sure to have positive, elevated emotions flowing through you. And looking at the image in the show notes from the Eureka Factor, we see a person playing tennis. You can use whatever method you want here, the Silva Method of meditation, your own mindfulness practice, or go out for a walk or a hike, whatever it is for you where you feel calm, rested, and at peace. Step 4, be open to new ideas that might pop into your head. Be prepared for ideas that might be completely opposite to how you're originally thinking of solving the problem. And we're all different here. Think back to the beginning of this episode when Grant Bosnick asked us to consider where our creative ideas flow into our minds. Mine come in at that time just before I go to sleep or just before I wake up. Others might come in the shower or while exercising. Just be open to new ideas that come into your mind and be ready to write them down. And step 5, know that there's much more work going on in your unconscious mind here. This is where we become more self-aware in the process. And Grant Bosnick lists a few inventions that were developed this way in Chapter 7 of his book on insight. And then I found this article that lists great Eureka moments in history. From Isaac Newton to Sir Paul McCartney, where inspiration arrives suddenly to help them with their famous aha moments. And the one I found the most fascinating, did you know that when Albert Einstein created his masterwork on the theory of relativity, that he was taken aback when his breakthrough came suddenly? His mind kept wondering as he pondered the thought, if a man falls freely, he would not feel his weight. And it was by linking accelerated motion and gravity where Einstein eventually created his theory of relativity. And John Cuneo's also lists some concrete examples that illustrate the steps and the features of the insight experience itself. In particular, their expanded perspective, sudden occurrence, reinterpretation of the familiar, awareness of the unforeseen relationships and subjective certainty, and that emotional thrill. Now, to review and conclude this week's episode 330 on the neuroscience of insight, did you know that the moment a solution pops into someone's awareness as an insight, a sudden burst of high-frequency EEG activity known as gamma waves can be picked up by an EEG electrode just above the right ear? Gamma waves that represent cognitive processing in the brain, such as paying attention to something or linking together different pieces of information. And John Cunio's recalled in Chapter 5 of The Eureka Factor with excitement after years of work that they had found a neural signature of the aha moment. It was a burst of activity in the brain's right hemisphere. Almost literally, he says, this is the spark of insight. But he did add to this conclusion that in the world outside of the lab, insights may need to be evaluated, verified, refined, and applied. And this requires contributions from the more analytical left hemisphere. So just like when Einstein came up with his famous aha moment with the theory of relativity that came from the right hemisphere of his brain, it took him 8 years using the analytical left hemisphere of his brain to work through the mathematical details. So while we need both left and right hemispheres of our brain to come up with these insightful aha moments, there was another important key finding that they discovered with a patient who had a stroke that damaged the right part of his brain more than the left. And the stroke didn't interfere with this particular patient's ability to speak and understand the spoken language, the left part of the brain. But the patient himself knew he was missing something important. This discovery led to an important finding that takes place in the right hemisphere of the brain and is important for filling in the gaps to make sense of things. And that's the ability to read between the lines, which is essentially what our brain is doing when it's filling in the gaps and solving our problems with our aha moments. We covered 5 steps for how to have more of these aha moments to enrich our personal and professional lives, with step 1, relax, go somewhere quiet and think. Step 2, look past that brick wall. And you might think you're stuck and you might see that brick wall in front of you, but know there's always a solution to every problem. You just haven't figured it out yet. And step 3, keeping your mood positive, break away and do something that makes you happy. It could be going for a walk or a hike or sit somewhere quiet and meditate or play tennis like the image in the show notes illustrates from the Eureka Factor. Just break away and divert your attention away from the problem. And step 4, this is where the magic happens. Be open to new ideas that might pop into your head. Be prepared for new ideas that might be completely opposite to how you were originally thinking. And if you decide to read the Eureka Factor on top of the suggestions that Grant Bosnick suggests, you'll learn how the left hemisphere of your brain and right must work together to fill in the gaps. And this is where we open up our minds to new creative ideas. And this concept is exactly like when someone tells you a joke or uses sarcasm or irony. Our brain doesn't like gaps or incompleteness, so it taps into the right hemisphere to interpret language in this way. And this is important. This is a prime example that demonstrates just as our ability to use language requires 2 intact hemispheres, our left and our right, so does effective, practical, creative performance. And it's within the right hemisphere of our brain where the spark ignites that creative fire. And the magic happens when we can relax with a positive mindset, close our eyes, and see what messages come in between the lines. And step 5, know there's much more work going on in our unconscious mind than we realize. In episode 295, we went deep into unleashing the power of our subconscious mind, and this is a good place to revisit as we peel back the layers and uncover who we truly are. Self-awareness is at the root of this whole process. To close out this episode, I want to end with a poem that reminds me of how the aha moment is formed. When we see something that escaped us for so long. And it's by Stuart Edward White, who explains these aha moments of learning and how they change us. He writes, "Curious how we acquire wisdom. Over and over again, the same truth is thrust under our very noses. We encounter it in action, and we're admonished of it. We read it in the written word. We suffer the experience. We gradually assent to the advice. We approve intellectually the written word. But nothing happens inside of us. Then one day, some trivial experience or word or encounter stops us short. A gleam of illumination penetrates the depth of our consciousness. We see. Usually it's but a glimpse, but on rare occasion, a brilliant flash reveals truth fully formed. And we marvel that this understanding has escaped us for so long. I hope you've enjoyed this deeper dive into the neuroscience of insights. And we have one last interview to release this weekend, and then we'll see you in a few weeks once I've got my footing when we return to finish our review of the final chapters of Grant Bosnick's Tailored Approaches to Self-Leadership.
If you're enjoying the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, please don't forget to subscribe so you'll stay up to date with our new episodes. While you're there, please feel free to give us a review or a 5-star rating, as it helps others find us. For more information on our programs, books, and tools for schools and the workplace, visit us at www.achieveit360.com.